Good morning. Good morning to each one. We are happy to have you with us this morning as we get gather together here at Central Church of Christ in Johnson City. Always good to get together and such a beautiful day to come together too. Of course, we've just recently experienced a transition in seasons. Winter has turned to spring. Things are greening up, buds are coming out, leaves are coming out, things are beautiful. And when we see the beauty around us, of course, we immediately think of the great things our Creator God has done for us, given us such beauty. And that in turn leads us to want to praise Him. And of course, that's why we're here this morning. We're called upon to do so. We have in our hearts to do so. And we welcome you joining us as we do that. So let's put all things of a worldly nature out of our minds and concentrate completely on honoring God at this time. Let's worship Him.
Begin our worship and song this morning with number 62. If you're using a hymn book, number 62, I exalt thee. Number 475, if you're using a book, number 475, glory to His name.
Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood.
sing number 101 if you're using a hymnal, 801, and then we'll be led in prayer.
To God, those that are able, would you please stand? Our most righteous and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for each day that we live. So many blessings that if we had numerous lifetimes, we couldn't count them all. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us the health that we have, that we can assemble here and fulfill a commandment on assembling the first day of the week. Heavenly Father, we at this time pray for the ones that have lost loved ones the last several weeks. And we know, Heavenly Father, that there's an emptiness in their hearts. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for their willingness to be one of your children, for obedience to your gospel. Help us, Heavenly Father, comfort those in whatever way that we can. Heavenly Father, we look at this world and there's so many things that are going on. And Heavenly Father, at this time we ask on behalf, especially the young people, so many things are confusing about morality and in this country and all over the world. Heavenly Father, help us as grandparents and parents that we can guide them in the direction that they need to go. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've left us your word that encourages us, give us guidelines. We can study it each day. We can learn how to forgive others. We pray, Heavenly Father, we'll use that each day that we live and be that homeward Christian soldier in all we say and do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the 11 men that have been baptized this week, the two ladies in Jonesboro and the two ladies in Irwin. Heavenly Father, sometimes the world looks at people that are incarcerated and gives up on them, but Heavenly Father, we realize that those people have a soul like we do. Heavenly Father, we pray for the speaker of this hour. Help him to have a ready recollection of the things that he studied. Help us, Heavenly Father, as listeners, to realize that that same word that we read and is spoken to us will be one that will judge us in the last day. Heavenly Father, at this time we ask for forgiveness of transgressions that we might have had. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your word tells us you'll never leave us or forsake us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that promise. And Heavenly Father, as we continue in this worship service to you, we pray that all we say and do from this day forward is in accordance to your will. And help us, Heavenly Father, to do that will each day that we live. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, when we fall short. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Make me a little nervous, you going up and down those steps, John, but you made it look easy, so good job. And Bobby, if you're here, you raise your hand today. All right. Good to see you, Bobby. We're going to, Mark, if you're using the hymn book, mark it as an invitation song, number 898. Actually, that's the song we're singing now. Just kidding. Mark is an invitation song, number 935. I'll get it right. If you're marking your song, 935 is what you want to mark. We're going to sing 898 now.
Yeah. Now is the time for the children to go to the children's cleaning class, and also the communion helpers can dismiss for the program. I'll be reading Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, English Standard Version. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward.
Where no one stands alone. We sang those words a bit ago. And that idea resonates with all of us, I think. We've all lost beloved companions at one time or another, friends, and it is sad to feel alone. But here we find the answer. In the Lord's kingdom, in the church, we have family. And that's what I love about the church. We're more than just an institution. We're more than just an organization. We're family. And if you've been part of this congregation for very long at all, you know what I'm saying. And praise God for that love and that companionship that he gives us. In front of the pulpit this morning, there are flowers that remind us of our brother Charlie Hartman, who passed away recently. And I think Marie is with us today. There she is, Marie. Our hearts are with you and with all of the family, of course, during this time. And there have been others that have gone on as well. And we want to remember all of these. And let's gather around and provide that support and encouragement that we all need. I found out just before worship began of another loss. Some of you did not know, but Marcy Gostad, who was part of our family here for a few years back, passed away this morning. Her daughter Sasha called me asking for our prayers. And if you remember, Marcy was here with her parents, and then her daughters Terry and Sasha were here, and then they moved away to Texas. But we want to remember the family of Marcy Gostad in our prayers in just a moment. And also, I had another request this morning for a prayer. This is someone that doesn't want to be named, but they're in a position of great responsibility for making decisions that could have far-reaching consequences. And so we're going to bow right now and pray for God's help for both of these families, and God will surely hear our prayers. Let's bow together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord, for being great and wonderful. You are the creator, you are the righteous king, sovereign throughout the universe. And Father, we praise you for your love and mercy, for being so considerate of our needs. And Father, we need you, Lord, we know that. But there are times we need you more than others. And Father, right now we want to pray on behalf of the family of Marcy Gostad. She was a dear sister to us. One who was very active in the kingdom. And Father, we know her passing leaves a great void for her family. Father, please bless the Gostad family. Help them to know that you are near. And for this other individual that is in a position of making decisions, Father, we pray for wisdom. We pray they will be given the wisdom they need to make the right decisions that will have the best effects. And help them to know that you're with them. Give them peace and confidence as they go through this time. Father, there are many needs among us right now. There are many who are grieving the losses of loved ones. Others who are concerned about loved ones who are ill and, and presently are in very difficult straits. Father, bless us all. You know what our needs are. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we go further, I'd like to introduce a noble man to you. Noble Escalante is visiting with us this morning with his family. As you know, we have a Hispanic group that meets in our building, and many of them are with us this morning back on this side. You may notice some of them with us, worshiping with us today. But I'd like to introduce to you Noble. He's here from Goldsboro, North Carolina, looking at the situation, and he would like to say just a little bit and introduce his family. So, Noble, come on up.
Hello, everyone, this morning. We are very happy and to be with all this morning. And we came from North Carolina. We meet in Church of Christ. We meet in Oak Forest Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And we came to visit in the all Hispanic congregation here, but we're very happy to, see all kind of people together this morning. And I will introduce my family to you this morning. My wife's name is Jessica Rodriguez. She's right there. And my first daughter is Dania Madeline. My second daughter is Allison Junice. And my third boy is Andy. And my sister-in-law is coming with us. She name is Sadie Ortiz. They are my family.
Welcome.
And we so happy to be with you this morning right here. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Noble. I had the privilege of visiting with Noble and his family last night at a devotional and a meal they had provided, and it was a real pleasure to get to know them. I think they're wonderful people, and we hope things will work out, that they might be able to come and work in our community with us. They do need a place to live if they decide to come. That's not a certainty yet, but if you have any ideas of a house that is available for rent or even purchase if it's not really expensive, please let them know after the service this morning. But we're so glad to have them with us, and we pray God's will be done in this community. We're glad for all of you to be with us today. We have many who are visiting with us, and I've got to note that we have a new record today for people that came the farthest to visit with us. And that is Alexa and Hugo, who came from France. They are here from France. Stand up for a moment. They are the guests of DB and Sandra Honeycutt. And Alexa was at the Women's Day yesterday, the Ladies' Day, and thought it was wonderful. And they are here with us this morning. And we'd love to see them back again, but welcome. We are happy that you are here. And all of you who are visiting, we want to welcome each of you individually. Can't do that right now, but we want to let you know we're glad you are here. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock to worship God again. And at that time, Josh is going to be bringing the lesson. So I hope you'll come back and join us for that. And again, I will have to leave quickly after I finish preaching this morning to get to the prison. I'll just leave it at that. I've got to report in. So pray for me. Pray for the people that I'll be preaching to up there later in the day as well. But get your Bible out now. Let's get into the Word of God and let Him teach us things that will help us live lives that are more pleasing to Him. I found a story about a man in August of 2019, this is a true story, and his company decided to give him a surprise birthday party. And you think, wow, that's so nice. Except when they had hired him, they told him this was company policy. When you have a birthday, we're going to give you a party. And he said, I don't want a party. please do not give me a party when my birthday comes. And yet they went ahead and gave him a birthday party. He went into a panic attack. I mean, seriously, he went into a panic attack, had to step out of the room, go to his car, take some time to compose himself. And then he came back in later. The party was over by then. And so later, the boss called him in and reprimanded him for that. He went into another panic attack because of the reprimand. So eventually, not too long after that, they said, we're going to have to let you go. We're concerned about you. We think you may be a danger to our company, although he'd been a great employee to that point. Well, then he filed suit, and eventually the jury found he was in the right, and they awarded him $450,000 for lost wages as well as the mental anguish that he endured. Well, the point is, the company could have avoided all of that if they had just listened. If they had just listened to this man and honored what he asked. And are we any different than that? Some of you, after we conclude here today, will go out to a restaurant to eat and you'll tell the server, well, I'd like a plate of spaghetti, let's say. And yet here they come with a bowl of soup. Are you going to be happy about that? Are you going to overlook that? Or will you say, no, I know what I told you. You should have listened. You should have written it down if you needed to. I wanted spaghetti. And that's the way we are. We want people to listen to what we say so they will know. Well, is God any different? Is God any different? And if we say, well, you know, I'll give God this because I feel like it would be pleasing to him. And yet God has never said that, or God has never asked for that. Is God going to say, well, you know, it's okay. I don't mind. You know, I told you what I wanted, but you chose to do something different. That's okay. Is that how God is? Or do we need to listen to God and pay attention to his word? That's the idea this morning. In the year 2023, we're looking at the theme, Back to the Bible. And the question this morning is religious certainty. Is that a possibility? Can we be certain of anything when it comes to religion? And that's what we're going to look at in the Bible. Can we have religious certainty? So let's begin by looking at God's revealed will and people's responses to it. God's revealed will and people's responses to it. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 119. Verse 160, the longest psalm of all of them. And verse 160 of Psalm 119. And while you're turning there, let me ask the question. Do we take for granted the fact that God has spoken? I mean, how many times in the Bible do you find a phrase like, the Lord said, or hear what the Lord has said to you, or something like that? I mean, dozens and scores of times you're going to find that phrase. And this passage tells us, yes, God has spoken. The sum of your word, he's talking about scripture there, the sum of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous rules endures forever. So the psalmist is saying, God has spoken. And we would do well to listen because God speaks truth. And shouldn't we be glad about that? I mean, there are those that think, well, yeah, I believe in God who created the world, but I don't think he did anything after that for us. He walked away and left us on our own. Those people are called deists. I'm thankful that's not who God is. God cares enough about us that he said, I need to show these people what is right, what is wrong. I need to warn them about dangers they're going to face. I'm going to make promises to encourage them to keep on the right path. I'm thankful that God has spoken. And that's what the Bible says over and over again. Well, how have some responded to that? Let me take you to Jeremiah chapter 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And here the people have come to Jeremiah the prophet. At this point, Babylon has come. Nebuchadnezzar has sent in his troops. They have destroyed Jerusalem. And they have taken most of the people away. They left some of them behind, and now they have murdered the one that was left to be in charge of them. And so they're going to Jeremiah and they're saying, ask God, where do we go now? I mean, we can't stay here because they're going to come after us for murdering their appointed representative. Where do we go? And listen to what they say to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. Then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us. Whether it is good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? They're saying, we will do whatever God tells us to do, and may God be a witness against us if we don't. Well, Jeremiah says, okay, I'm going to go ask God. And it was several days before God spoke to Jeremiah. And then God included this because God knew they weren't going to listen to him. God said this in Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 19. He says in verse 19, the Lord has said to you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know for a certainty that I have warned you this day. God is saying, don't be mistaken on this because I am saying this with certainty. Do not go to Egypt. And yet that's exactly what these people decided they were going to do. So God spoke to them. They wanted God to speak to them. And he did. And he said, be certain about this. And yet they went ahead and did what they wanted to do anyway. It did not turn out well for them. Look at another example in 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, we're going to look at verse 18 there. And we're looking at a young prophet. We're not even told his name in this chapter. But he did what the Lord told him to do. He went to Jeroboam, the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, who had already set up an idol. And he was to warn Jeroboam. And this prophet did his job well. And God had said, when you do your job, turn around, go back home, do not stay. Do not give in to the king's invitation to come eat with him. Don't drink with him. Just go back home. Do your job and go on. But then an older prophet intercepted that young man on his way home. 1 Kings 13 and verse 18. The older prophet said to the younger prophet, I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord saying, bring him back with you into your house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. But he lied to him. That's what the text says. And so the young man did what he invited him to do. He went back and ate and drank with the king. And then on his way home later, he was killed by a lion. Now, you might say, well, that's not fair. He didn't know that that older prophet was lying. That may be true, but he did know what God said. He knew what God said, and that was, don't go back, don't eat, don't drink there, just go back home after you've delivered the message. And for that, he paid the ultimate price. He believed a lie. He didn't listen to God. And then one other example we'll find in 2 Kings chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. Here we're talking about the man Naaman, who was a captain in the Syrian army. And he was a great man, obviously. He was a captain. But he developed leprosy. And leprosy was called in that day and time the living death. It was something that had no cure. And somebody said, oh, you just need to go back to Israel because there they have a prophet that knows how to handle that. And so Naaman did. He went. And eventually he ended up at the door of Elisha, the prophet. And they sent word to Elisha, there is a captain out here that wants to see you. Elisha didn't even come outside. He didn't even come outside. He sent a messenger back with the answer. Go to the River Jordan, dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan, and you'll be cured of your leprosy. How did Naaman receive that? Listen to what he says in verse 11. Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought He would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. But that's not what happens. Naaman expected something and he said, I thought, and he was ready to go home. In fact, he started the journey back to Syria and he would have gone back with his leprosy. But somebody stopped him and said, give it a try. At least try what the prophet said. And look at verse 14. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What made the difference? What made the difference in being cured of leprosy and not being cured? It was doing what God commanded through his prophet. And you see, the idea is God speaks. He has often spoke in the Bible. And yet, many times people just ignore it. They say, no, that's not what I want to hear. That's not what I want to do. And therefore, I'm not going to do it. Is that how we're going to respond? And Psalm 30, verse 5, or Proverbs 30, verse 5, really sums it up, I think, very well. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God proves true. Do you see that? There it is on the screen. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And if we could just burn that on our hearts and really believe that, yes, God's word is true, then when it comes to us, maybe our response would be a little different than all of these others that we've looked at. So let's talk now for a few moments about searching for religious certainty today. Searching for religious certainty today. I mean, is it even possible? Let me read to you something that I found on a website called patheos.com. And this was written in 2020 by a fellow, I understand him to be religious, but here's what he says about the idea of certainty. How can I be certain? I can't. I guess I just walk by faith and not by sight. But let us never forget that faith is not certainty. It is faith. To call it anything else is to undermine the beauty of belief. From faith we have our beginning, and to faith we shall return in the end. How can anyone be certain? You can't. If you were, you wouldn't have faith. Don't trust in certainty, trust in faith. I have faith that God will meet us there. So according to this fella, you might as well forget about the idea of being certain. If we're talking about faith, well, that's just a contradiction in terms. You either have faith or you have certainty, but you can't have both. I totally disagree. Because if we're talking about biblical faith founded on the word of God, you can have certainty. You may not believe it, but you can have it. That's what the word of God says. Let me show you that from just 3 or 4 different passages. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 36. We often look at Acts chapter 2 because this is the beginning of the church. It is the kingdom of God coming to earth in the form of the church. And Peter is preaching. And he's preached about Jesus. He told them how Jesus was prophesied, how Jesus did many miracles, how God raised him from the dead. And now he makes the conclusion in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. You can know it for certain. And he had given all the evidence, the prophecies, the miracles, the resurrection from the dead. How do you explain all of that? It has to mean that Jesus was approved by God and that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And of course, as you remember, many of them were convicted by that and followed through by being baptized that day. But that word certain, there's another use of that same Greek word in Acts chapter 16, verse 23, where the jailer is commanded to take Paul and Silas and keep them safely in jail. And that's the word that is translated certain in Acts 2 verse 36. Now what's the connection? Well, if you put someone in prison, you are keeping them safe. They are secure. They are there. But what about truth? Is there a place where we can be certain, where it will be safely kept? And the message of the Bible is God's word, scripture. That's where truth is safely kept. But let me show you another passage. This is found in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Luke, the beloved physician, Paul calls him, was also quite a historian. And there have been a lot of historians who have looked at the works of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and they have said, he was a first-class historian. Because all of the details that he talks about, they check out. They are exactly right. Everything he wrote checks out. Everything that we can confirm. Well, Luke said this as he began this account of the life of Jesus. He said, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty. That you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So again, how do I know that what Luke wrote is right? Luke said, I went to a lot of effort. In addition to the fact he was writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he said, I wanted you to have certainty. And God wants us to have that as well. It's not guessing. It's not hoping something is right. I know it's right because God has given it to me. It is in the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. And look at how Peter begins this letter. He says this, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has also granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now notice what Peter said there. We have everything we need in Scripture. God has seen to it that we have everything we need. And how do we get it? Through knowledge. Through the knowledge of what has been revealed to us in this Bible, we can know. We can absolutely know this is right. This is what I need to follow and believe. And then one other passage. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John, by this time, a very old man. He said, I've written all these things for a reason. And what was that reason? Here's what he says in 1 John 5, 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, sometimes we say, well, you know, I hope something is the case. You know, if you are asked, you know, I remember the TV show, Deal or No Deal, I believe it was, Deal or No Deal. And Howie Mandel would tell them, pick out one of those 26 briefcases. One of them has the $1 million inside, and they would bring it up on the stage, and he says, what do you think? I know this has $1 million inside it. How often did that work out? Very rarely. It did occasionally, but not very often. They thought they knew, but they really didn't. The only time you know is when you open the briefcase and there it is. Is that the way it is with spiritual things? We just kind of hope it is? The Bible says you can have certainty. You can know that you have eternal life. How? Here it is. God tells us what to do, what to believe, how to behave in our lives, how to trust him. And if we do those things, then we can know that we have eternal life. But sometimes we step away from the Word of God. Sometimes we don't like what the Word of God tells us. It doesn't tell us what we expected it to say, and so we just turn away and go in some other direction. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. If you read the next two verses, these people are saying, Lord, we did all kinds of things in your name. I mean, we cast out demons. We did wonderful works in your name. What do you mean? We can't come in. He said, those who do the will of my Father in heaven will be admitted. Well, how do we know? Go down to verse 24. Same chapter, Matthew 7, verse 24. And listen to what he says. You know this verse. You've learned it from a child. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, hears these words of mine and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So Jesus said, it's not difficult. It's a matter of opening the Bible, reading it, and then heeding whatever God has said. That's how we can know that we have eternal life. Proverbs 14:12 warns us with this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And we often see that played out in reality. I mean, we've had high winds lately, and we have seen power lines down in some places. And you may say, oh, that's not a power line. That's a cable, you know, for television or a telephone line. Are you going to go up and grab it? You better not. Because what seems right may actually be the way of death. And so, that's what the scriptures tell us. You may think it's right, but is it? Is that really what is right? And then, Acts 17:11, of course, the standard. Those Jews in the city of Berea. These Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scripture daily to see if these things were so. I often encourage you, don't take my word for anything. Don't. I mean, I try very hard to preach nothing but truth, but I could be mistaken. The word of God never is. Always check what you hear against the word of God. Saul of Tarsus, you remember, he was a very learned individual. He had all of the degrees of Judaism, highly respected. But he was wrong when it came to the Christ. He thought Jesus was an imposter. He later found out the truth. He could have known the truth if he had looked at it closely. But that should remind us, you know, we may think we're sharp in this way or that, but am I really? Do I really know what God has said? And that encourages us to always keep going back to the Word of God. Let's close with that passage that was read to us earlier by Josh in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. This psalm begins with a look at the natural world around us. You remember it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And boy, you can just remember sitting out at night on a clear night and looking up at the sky and thinking, wow, what a marvelous universe God has created. But that's not really the point of this psalm. The main point of this psalm begins in verse 7 when it says, in a sense, how much greater is God's revelation by word. Here's what he says, beginning in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You can be certain of that. God wants you to be certain. And so if I take the time to read God's word, not all at once, but little by little, on a regular basis, and the more I become acquainted with this book, the more I see my life needs to change in this way or that, and I'm going to let God bring about those changes in my life because they're all good. They're all good. And so this morning I ask you, have you allowed God to make those changes in your life? Have you begun the process by turning your life over to Him? Just like those people on the day of Pentecost we mentioned earlier in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "No, for certain God has made Him both Lord and Christ." And they said, "Men and brothers, what shall we do?" And the answer they were given is still the answer we're given. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not changed. That's still what you need to do if you haven't yet done it. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Or have you wandered away? Have you strayed? And you need to come back home? If you do, then let's do that. Repent of your sins. Ask for prayers of the church. We'll pray with you. We'll help you any way that we can. But whatever your need, come as we stand together and sing.
Seated.
Seth has responded to the invitation this morning. He's having to deal with someone who's not very pleasant and someone that has kind of been rude to him. And he asked that we pray for him, that he might be able to show this person through the way he responds to this behavior, the love of Christ. And he's also asked that this congregation pray for this person, that maybe they might feel better and that maybe they might not be so rude. What an example for us all. Amen. Let's enter into prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come before you just now, we bring these concerns of Seth. We thank you, dear God, for the example that he set, that he wants to guard his response to these behaviors, dear God, that he wants to set the proper example for this person. He wants to show them the love that Christ offers. And as he has requested, dear God, we pray for this person, even though Seth has chosen not to name this person, that they may become aware of how their behavior is affecting others and that they might consider the words that they use and that, dear God, they may find Christ. We're thankful for this example that's been set before us this morning. Help us all to dwell on this during the week and guard our behavior. And also, dear God, remember to pray for those who may not be as kind to us as they should. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen.
You're using a hymnal. We'll be singing number 349 to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Number 349, 10,000 angels. We'll sing the first through fourth verse, and then we'll sing the refrain at the end. We'll sing that just one time. So you sing all four verses, but with the refrain at the end.
Thank you.
If you do not have your communion cups, they're outside in the hallway if you'd like to pick one up. Go ahead and prepare your communion cups, please. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to gather again together, to do those things, dear God, consistent with scriptural worship, and to observe in this assembly the sacrifice that Christ has given for us all. I pray, dear God, that you would be with us and bless us during this part of the service. Help us to do this in a manner well-pleasing, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, dear God, as we partake of this emblem, dear God, that represents the blood of the perfect Lamb that was shamed, that was given on our behalf, help us to remember its cleansing and washing nature. Help us to remember, dear God, that this is the blood that brings about the possibility of salvation for us all, the Jew first and even the Greek. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen. This being a convenient time, let's give thanks for the offerings and for the gifts. Our Father, we're thankful to you for the many blessings you bestowed upon us in this life, the blessings that exist in this country, dear God, where we are at liberty to go about providing for your work, providing for our families, providing for our fellow man. We're thankful for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us that are physical in nature, dear God, that we may often sometimes take for granted. Allow us, dear God, to be good stewards of what you have given us. We pray your blessings upon these gifts and upon the givers. This prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Again, let's join in prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for this time that we could gather to join our voices in praise of you. Father, we know we owe you everything. We thank you for all the kindness that you have shown us, for caring for us day by day. We ask that you continue to be with us, guide our steps. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Let me share these items with you. Pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium, please. be aware that the Easter egg hunt will be this Saturday, April 8th, at the side porch from 10 a.m. to 12. More candy is needed for the egg hunt. If you're able to donate individually priced candy, please bring it to the building this Wednesday, April 5th. And also, please remember these in prayer. James.